This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure, across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. The Patriots are moving on, 35-31, the final score today at Gillette Stadium, in a game that they went down 14-0. Then went down 28-14. The Patriots come all the way back, and they win the ball game 35-31. That was a great game, no matter how it was going to end. That was one of the most entertaining football games I think the NFL has seen all year long.
Yep, you avoided a blowout when it looked like it might turn into a blowout for the visitors, a surprise blowout. And then Gronkowski, I think, ignited them there with not just the third down catch, but that 46-yarder to set up the touchdown. And then I'm pretty sure I saw on NBC that some record about the most coming back from multiple 14-point deficits in a playoff game to win. Patriots had never come back from more than 11-point deficit to win in the postseason. So, you know, they put some records on the boards. And we were kind of wrong because I think the Ravens front dominated and beat the living you-know-what out of Tom Brady. And Tom Brady stood in there and took it and made some plays with his arm.
Okay, we have to revisit some of the things that were said in the pregame show. And one of those things was Andy's assertion that the game would be decided on the first series, right?
And it was.
I'll tell you what. You said earlier today, you can't win the game in the first quarter, but you can certainly lose it.
They came close.
Paul, maybe you would agree with me. I think the play of the game in this game, and it's not what happened late with some ridiculous plays like Edelman throwing a 51-yard touchdown pass to Danny Amendola. The second Patriots drive of this game on a 3rd-and-8 play.
Sorry about that.
If they don't convert on that third down, I think you're looking at one of those situations and scenarios that Andy kind of painted the picture of in the pregame show. And instead, you've got a 16-yard completion from Brady to Gronk that kept the drive alive. It eventually ended up being a Patriots touchdown. It was Brady scrambling and running in the end zone and scoring a touchdown. That changed the entire way that this game looked.
Yeah, if they had on that 3rd-and-8, I think the Ravens got exactly what they wanted. They got them in a long yarded situation. They were coming after Brady. They got there. Pernell McPhee cracked Gronkowski at the line of scrimmage and knocked him off his route. But there was a coverage breakdown for the Baltimore Ravens, and they had nobody pick him up coming across the middle. He stumbled a step, gathered himself, and Brady just threw it to him, and there was nobody there. It was a 16-yard gain, first down, and then Beadle told you the rest. Touchdown drive. I think if it's 14-0 and the Patriots have to punt the ball back to the Ravens, at that point the defense was reeling. They didn't have any time to make any adjustments. They weren't on the sideline long enough to fix. To be quite honest, they never really fixed what was bothering them the whole game anyway.
Didn't. They slowed down the bleeding. They never stopped it.
They never stopped Justin Forsett. They never really stopped. I think the biggest problem for the Ravens, I think, was the two injuries. The two wide receivers, I think, weren't as effective after they both got hurt, Torrey Smith and Steve Smith. But give the Patriots a ton of credit in this game. They were on the ropes about 3 or 4 different times. And they found a way to hold on. Just barely, but they found a way to hold on.
So much.
Now do you understand why I think the Ravens are a good team?
Yep.
That's why I think they're good.
Yep, I'll take that. Their roster is better than I thought it was.
They have good players, despite the fact that 19 of them are on IR. They have good players.
I give their team more credit than I did before the game in terms of the talent on their roster because they're a better team than I thought they were.
That's big of you.
It's just, Andy, it's reasonable of me.
You know. When they were within a stone's throw of what could have been their fourth straight road win in Foxborough in the postseason, they have proven to you they're going to come to fight. They're going to throw it at you.
And this is why Andy and I use those trite little phrases that, and Beetle, you were with us on this part, that the Ravens aren't afraid. And John Harbaugh is not afraid. Two fourth downs that he goes for and gets, one of which he throws a bomb on.
Ballsy.
For a would-be touchdown. It was about a half a yard short.
As I said in the press box, I think I can say this. Talk about putting your nuts on the table at that point.
Yeah, like, when you play to win... When you play to win,
you're on the internet, Andy. It's cool.
You at least give yourself a chance to
my
win.
My balls.
Right. Right on the table. That's what that play was. And then McDaniels raised him by saying, I see what you did there.
Well, that's the other part of
six,
this.
A bomb to Smith. You know what? Why don't we do a little bit of this?
You had some traditional grit, I think, from Tom Brady and the Patriots. And then you had some of the trickeration with the 34 is not eligible. Do not cover 34. Going with four offensive linemen for a drive there, which worked. They drove down the field. Then you had the double pass that, as I tweeted, I think we can talk about it now. We've seen that in training camp. Fans that have come down here have seen that play in training camp. They've been working on it forever. And you pull it out in a big situation. I know Brady joked, I guess, on NBC, it's not fair when the receiver throws it better than I do. And he hits Amendola in stride. The only thing that, he was wide open. It worked perfectly. The only thing I was thinking is, oh, my God, this will be the down point in Amendola's career if he drops this for some reason.
You know what I thought? He was hauling ass. Amendola was hauling down the sideline. And I thought, don't trip up. That's what I thought was going to, never mind a drop. I thought, oh, don't lose your legs under you, man.
I'd rather lose my legs than lose the ball.
Well, I mean, both would be a bad look, and I thought was don't lose your legs. Keep running. Keep in stride, and he did. It was a gorgeous
play. But you had
play.
Grit. You had guts. You had tricks. You had luck. You know, their teams are putting balls on the ground that aren't costing them. I mean, you had fortunate, unfortunate plays. It was this. What, you know, people have been talking this week about, is this the new rivalry or has this become the rivalry? I don't know, because you might face Peyton Manning next week, and that sort of feels like a continuation of the Colts-Broncos rivalry. But they're good football games with two teams that just sort of slug it out.
Yeah, it was. This was reminiscent to me of the 06 one in Indianapolis, yep. Only the Patriots win this one. Just a shootout, huge plays, both sides, both teams showing unbelievable grit. And, you know, as Kevin Garnett would say, grit and balls. You know,
a lot
just
of balls
unbelievable
in game,
balls in this game. Heavy hits.
My balls.
Guys getting injured. Guys leaving. Guys stepping in and making plays. You know, even, the last Hail Mary, Logan Ryan is out there. A little bit of a subtle play. Gronkowski, of all people, goes up. I think he may have been the one that got it at the apex.
I'm not surprised.
Knocked it back toward the field.
Shocker.
Torrey Smith is running for the ball. Now, he wouldn't have been in the end zone.
Right.
But he might have been able to catch it and run in. Who knows? And Logan Ryan knocked him. And that's not pass interference. Once the ball gets tipped like that, everybody, you know, just so I'm not.
All's fair in love and war.
Exactly. Subtle little play by Logan Ryan. And that can Pete.
And think
that,
about it.
Contributed.
I didn't think the corners played very well in the first half. The veterans, Browner and Revis. Browner gets hurt. And you're seeing the likes of Daron Harmon and Logan Ryan in the second half, and those guys end up making plays at the end that are part of your victory. You know, I don't know moving forward. Same thing with, I don't know, would they have done the four offensive linemen thing if Stork hadn't gotten hurt? If they had kept their starting five, was that a wrinkle in case we get hurt, or was that a wrinkle? I don't know. You know, all these sort of things
that fall into the butterfly effect,
things falling into place. You know, they didn't run the ball, as Bill used to say in Cleveland, the length of his you-know-what. They had, didn't run in the third quarter, didn't run in the fourth quarter until Brady had that sneak. I'm not sure anybody but Brady ran.
Brady.
Did we get stats up yet?
In the fourth quarter?
Are you talking just in the fourth?
They didn't run the ball in the second half, I don't believe.
Other than Brady, right?
I think it was just Brady sneaks and kneel downs.
At my last check, it was 10 rushing attempts, and I'll tell you right now.
That's phenomenal.
13 for 14 as a team.
By the way, all those people that wanted to stay balanced and run it into the Ravens and
there's
all that, that kind of went out the window.
You're not running
Michael,
it on that team.
You know, we joked, Michael Manawanui isn't going to be a factor. Well, he was a factor, had more than his season-long production. We joked that Owen Daniels isn't going to beat you. They had the game on the line, and Owen Daniels beats you for a big fourth-down conversion.
Yeah, except for he dropped a touchdown.
Now
so
I know. Kinda,
so you've got 13 rushes and six of them by Brady.
Yeah.
And some of those kneel downs.
Yeah, those are the
kneel downs
at the end. I think three of them because
and
he did have three.
One at the end of the half.
Right, so there you go. So there you go, four.
He had a sneak.
So he had a touchdown run, a sneak, and four kneel downs.
There you go.
That's your running game.
Four of the 14 attempts, 13 attempts, were kneel downs. So there were really nine real rushing attempts in this game today. Nine. And two of the real ones were Tom Brady.
And one in the second half. They didn't run the ball.
So they had seven rushing plays.
And I know you guys
Tom Brady.
Like to joke, but I do think not just the third down conversion, but the big play after that that Gronk had ignited
the
team.
Huge.
I mean, that's big. Yeah. And then we joke about it, but he's on the field batting the ball away, sort of the opposite of the Super Bowl when he was on the field trying to limp over and playing the role of Torrey Smith trying to catch the ball.
So you're
just a fascinating football game. I mean, the offensive line got its ass kicked for times.
Yes,
Brian
it did.
Stork got his ass kicked on that.
Yes, he did.
The first and goal run from the one to, was it Blunt? I think it was Blunt. It ended up being a 3-yard loss. He got absolutely bitch slapped. Later, he gets hurt. Wendell was on roller skates at times. That Williams guy can play.
Yeah, this was another one of those games where, you know, you're going to look up and you can say they threw the ball 51 times and only got sacked twice. You know, sacks per play, you know, 25, one per every 25. Not bad.
You know who will beg to differ?
He was under constant
Alex
pressure.
Guerrero. He's going to spend like the next 3 days trying to put
he
Brady's
was
body
under
back.
Constant
avocado
pressure in that game.
Yeah. Brady's going to be, what do they call that? Straight line in the avocado ice cream right into the vein.
Right, intravenously is how he's going to be taking his avocado ice cream.
He needs a little Miyagi sun tonight.
Little wax on, wax off.
Yes.
A little bit of that. Let's get
G
to
G-love.
Yeah, a little special sauce there. Let's get to what's wrong, Paul? What's wrong? Can't we have fun?
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
All right, what do you want to start with?
The good was Katy Perry's halftime interview. I mean, what? Gronk. I will start with Gronk and
Gronk,
Brady.
Gronk,
your stars on offense, I thought, came up and made some plays you needed when the game was, as you said, hanging by a absolute thread. They came up and made some plays.
I'll give you a good that I would not have given you 15 guesses for before the game.
Danny Amendola. Unreal.
Came
almost
up
started bad, though.
Huge plays in this game. He did start
bad.
Was
that the opening kickoff?
He fumbles, not the opening kick, but he fumbled the first kick for the Patriots, the first return. And then he, you know, I thought he caught that ball on the third down. I thought the ball didn't move, but, you know, they called it incomplete.
The one that early?
Yeah,
on the
reversal.
No catch.
The ball definitely hit the ground. I didn't think it moved.
Yeah, I didn't think he didn't have very good control of it. I saw the nose of the football come down and hit the ground, and it looked like it was sliding between his hands. I thought that was the right call.
Well, that's the way the official saw it, so you guys were in agreement. But for him to come up with 5 catches for 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the first touchdown much more impressive than the second. You know, great individual effort, breaking a tackle, getting down the sideline,
going airborne,
launching himself into the end zone.
That could be some of those good, you know, like picture of the year type photos. That
huge,
was a good one.
Huge, huge plays for Danny Amendola in this game.
Well, he had to get rid of the sleeves, right? Had the sleeves, got rid of them.
One of the things we talked about at length was, you know, we knew how the Ravens were going to play defensively, and we knew how the Patriots were going to play offensively. Could the Ravens tackle? And the answer was, mostly no.
Right.
They didn't tackle well, and that was Amendola. And a lot of times it was Amendola making those guys miss. Edelman making some guys miss. So I put Danny Amendola right up there with all the rest of those guys.
I think you have to.
Huge game today.
I'll let you go with Brady, Paul. Why don't you express some Brady feelings?
I thought Brady was terrific. And this is
Paul at times has been critical of postseason Brady.
And I said to you guys
off air.
I said to you guys before we started, it's a good thing you got regular season Brady and not postseason Brady, because when he's under this kind of pressure in the postseason, and I don't mean pressure of the game, I mean physical pressure of the pass rush, he hasn't been as effective. And there were times today that he was grossly inaccurate.
And they kicked the crap out of him.
Because they kicked the living crap out of him. But stood in there, the game-winning touchdown throw to Brandon LaFell was just balls.
Oh,
I mean, he put that right in the hands, right in the breadbasket.
Melvin had no shot with that one.
Brady didn't even have the best passer rating on the team.
No, he didn't. But 33 for 50 for 367 with 3 touchdowns, a terrible interception at the end of the half, which started the second comeback that they had to make, because they seemed to have the ball. They seemed to have the game under control at 14-14, and he threw a bad pick, but I put Brady at the high on the list of good as well today.
All right, even with the, you know what, I'm going to save what I'm about to say for the bad. I'm going to save it for the bad. I'm not going to put it in the good. I'm going to move on. I was going to say something related to the offensive line, but you know what? I'm reserving it for the bad. That's what I'm going to do. What about Edelman?
I thought Edelman had
he had the pass.
Right.
Also had 8 catches. Had 8 catches in this
game. The pass was huge. I mean, I think without that, it's a different day. But you throw the pass in with the 8 catches, you know, another good day for him. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and a good day
returns.
And a good day punt returns.
Yep.
On punt returns. Average 15 yards on 3 punt returns.
What do we want to single out defensively today?
Something
good?
Uh,
It's a stretch.
Not sure I'm willing to go there.
It's a stretch.
Yeah, they didn't get a ton of pressure. You know, a lot of the stuff they were doing up front didn't work, and then they started to get aggressive a little with what everybody's been talking about, Collins and Hightower at the line, and that burnt them a couple times because they got caught up in the wash and they ran to the outside. I thought they ran the ball better than I expected Forsett to be able to run on this team. Individually, it's hard to really point any. I mean, McCourty came over and made a pick, but it was an overthrow. You know, yeah, Harmon, it was a lob ball.
The Harmon play was a good play because Torrey Smith torched Logan Ryan on that play.
No, I know. But
the other safety isn't always in position to make that play on deep balls. I agree with you. There was a lot of struggles.
They struggled. You know what I mean? They didn't give in. They didn't pack it in at any point. I thought they fought. They had a bad day. You know, and I know a lot of fans were very critical on Twitter. I thought we had a stout defense. What happened to that defense we've been touting? Thought we had a defense now, blah, blah, blah.
You know what's incredible? 428 yards of total offense the Ravens had, and they were 1-for-9 on third down.
But they were really good on fourth down.
3-for-3 on fourth down. So it's like being 4-for-9, you know. But
on third and four, yeah, I think that, it's fair to combine the conversions.
No, I know, but 1-for-9, I mean, that's...
In a ball game with the best team in the conference.
But to give up that amount of yardage, that's really the Ravens made plays when they had to make plays.
But, yeah, it's hard to really single out anybody on defense. I mean, I can't do it. Won't do it.
Daron Harmon hung on to the ball late.
Daron Harmon, I thought, made a nice play coming over, you know. But
I think it was kind of telegraphed a little bit, but you know what?
Yeah.
He hung on to the ball. I'm going to give him that.
Better than not.
Came up with
there,
a play. Made
as
a
Paul
play.
Said, if you don't get there,
gotta
you can't make the easy
category.
Catch.
I also think the throw was to the inside, and it should have been to the outside where only his guy could get it. But that's nitpicking. I think Harmon made a nice play.
Made a good play. Made
Brandon
a play
LaFell
when
had a couple
they needed
catches
a play.
As a complimentary option. Yep. Hooman caught the ball when it was thrown to him.
Hooman got a lot more play than I thought he would.
And I think that was I'm just guessing here, sort of. I think the part of the thinking there is, you know, a lot of people might say, why isn't Tim Wright? You're splitting a guy out wide. Why don't you want Tim Wright? I think there's a chance that they wanted to keep them in their defense and thought they might consider Wright a wide receiver if they brought Wright in the game. So with that package with Hooman, maybe they treat him as a tight end, and that's kind of a schematically matchup that they liked. You know, I would give Josh McDaniels a good. I know a lot of people will criticize me, but it's interesting. I think if you lose this game, Josh McDaniels gets the bad.
If those things don't work.
You guys can't line up and play football. You got to use these crazy trick plays.
If those things don't work, you're in line. You're in line.
No, I know, but that's that fine line.
The trick play worked, and the, you know, having guys line up that weren't eligible worked.
A little different. That's a one-off.
Yeah.
But clearly you spent practice time and game plan time with the whole 34, 47 are not eligible, don't cover them thing. That's more than just a trick play. That's a package and a game plan and an idea. And it worked. So I'm going to give Josh credit for it.
Do you remember that ever happening before? I just can't.
I don't remember seeing it.
It's not dumb. I said to Paul, it's very similar to
the NFL, anyway.
Swinging
that's
gate, PAT, where you're basically seeing how the defense reacts. If they react the right way, you bring everybody in, you kick the PAT. If they don't, you take the two. If they don't deal with it. And we were sort of discussing on the fly. The challenge is, you know, you don't have to cover him. He's ineligible. He's a blocker. But if you don't put a guy out there on him, and I know at least a couple of the snaps they had a wide receiver outside of Hooman, if they run a wide receiver screen, he kicks that guy out, that guy goes down the sideline, you're going to get a big play out of it.
Right.
So you almost have to put a guy out on Hooman to account for that, to make sure you have two defenders to deal with two offensive players, and it was two distinct moves they did. Hooman would just stand at the line. Shane Vereen was dropping off the line, turning in like he was taking a screen. So he was really trying to sell, maybe you guys should cover me. But I certainly have never heard an official say, you know, 47 is not eligible, don't cover him. I've never heard that in my life.
34 not eligible,
don't
cover
him. Seems like cheating.
Yeah.
If I'm the offense, you don't need to advise the defense on what to do.
Right.
It's like if you're playing cards with a little kid and, like, the other parent helps them. No, you let them play. Play their own hand.
You got another paw there, but say something. I'm sorry. No. I was just giving you the floor. That's all. Let's get to some of the bad. What do you think about the bad? I want to start here. One of the players that you expected to be one of your best players on the field tonight actually hurt your team, and that was Darrell Revis.
Yep.
Not a good night for him.
Nope.
Yeah, I think Andy said it off the top. I think the corner struggled, and I do think the injuries to those two guys. Steve Smith was down for a long time, and Torrey Smith went to the locker room, came back. I don't think that either one of those guys was consistently effective after that. And they occasionally made some plays after that, but not like they had in the first two drives. You know, for Torrey Smith, it was the first drive, but I think Smith, the first couple, I think he caught the second touchdown pass. And I think that that was that helped the Patriots a lot. I don't think Bronner could run with Torrey Smith. That's exactly what I feared all week long. He consistently ran by Torrey Smith. I think they dodged a bullet, and then you said it, Beadle. Revis.
The penalties.
The pass interference was a tough call. I thought he had an arm bar there that you see called.
Before the half?
Yeah.
I thought that play was garbage.
Yeah, I don't like pass interference.
This is Mackey from Quincy.
No, because the hold was a legit call later on.
Oh, the hold was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The hold was, I mean, there's any, you know, unless the guy was, unless the,
I mean, was, it was, it
unless
was
that was a Detroit Lion holding a Dallas Cowboy, that was going to be a
he
hold
grabbed
every
it quick.
Time.
I don't know what kind of impact it had on the play, but that should be called.
Yeah.
100 times.
The arm bar is what they call pass interference. What I'd like to see called at pass interference is when the defender runs through the receiver before the ball gets there, which I thought Devin McCourty did in the first half to Owen Daniels on a third down play. They don't call that, but they call the arm bar all the time, and I don't like that. I don't like that call, but he did it. The arm was out there, and it was, I guess, ostensibly prohibiting him from being able to get down the sideline. I don't think that play had a prayer of being completed, and I think it was a terrible call. I hate that call.
Terrible call.
But that
His
said,
tonight sucked,
that
by
said,
the
refs had far too big of
they
an impact
terrible.
In the game. Now, before we get accused of being Johnny Homer with complaining about the pass interference call, they had far too big of an impact on the game, and I think, for the most part, pro-Patriot. I think the personal fouls.
Oh, I disagree.
The personal fouls on the bench, give me a break.
Well,
this is the NFL.
Hold on.
Personal foul on the
hold
bench.
On.
Des Bryant went onto the field last week yelling at a referee, and they didn't call a foul, and they call a personal foul on the bench.
I would agree with you on
Please.
Those ones, because I don't think personal fouls.
Two personal fouls on Torrey Smith.
Personal
three of them all together
should have made their way into this game, so I will grant you that.
But three of them did. I don't want to see the referees.
Okay.
Go away.
I thought the Revis play had a huge impact on whether or not they scored a touchdown at the end of that first half.
Oh, I agree.
Obviously.
With,
okay?
I agree.
So that one is, we're talking about points
But at least
on
that's
the
a penalty on the field.
And yeah, and I'll tell you what.
Not because
one.
Someone's talked
the,
bad to them. I mean, that's
I'm
just ridiculous.
Paul, I'm with you. I think those
you
are bad
You can't compare
calls.
A pass interference miscall to a
That's why
a taunting penalty.
I didn't really factor those in. I'm talking about football plays that we saw in this game. Not only was that Revis call just a joke in my mind, after that, early third quarter, the non-call on Rob Gronkowski. When he got mugged
absolutely.
On third down.
That's another one.
And
that's
then,
another one like
no
the McCourty
flag.
One that I'm talking about. That's pass
How
interference.
How the hell do you not see that?
That's absolutely
that
right.
Is complete,
that's pass interference.
Incompetence on the part of the refs.
I'm with you.
That's embarrassing.
Get rid, of the, get rid of the arm bar and give me running through the receiver before he catches, before the ball arrives. That's pass interference.
Right. And as I tweeted out at the time, you know, you and I have talked about this, Paul. People accuse the league, oh, they're fixing games, they're fixing games. I don't buy that for a second. Like, I don't buy into those theories at all.
Only Dallas.
But you know what? When I see plays like that, I go, well, I understand why some people find it hard to believe that a ref could be that incompetent and not throw a flag on that play.
I think it's
like, I just don't know how you don't throw that flag. How did you miss that? How did you not see that?
I just think they're taught to do different things, and I think they see that lead arm go across and they say, oh, that's okay. But they don't see the contact before the ball gets there. I don't understand. I don't understand how.
I got to say that call
that should have been a penalty on Gronk. Without question, that should have been a pass interference
the
call.
The flag on Harbaugh, by the way?
Garbage.
I agree. Like, what are you doing, throwing a flag on Harbaugh?
I mean, it wasn't a huge play in the game. They were already in the red, so it's like an 8-yard penalty.
Let me ask you
like
honestly,
that.
Do you think that one's been building for, like, years with John Harbaugh?
Let me ask you.
I don't think
like
it can be.
He's a pain in the ass.
No, because I haven't seen it on Bill yet.
I was just going to say, let me ask you a question. Do you think they would have called it on Belichick?
It's been building for 15 years on Bill Belichick. I've seen him down further and out further than that.
There's a 0.0%
now, I don't know
chance
what he
that
said.
Belichick gets called.
He may
for
have
that.
Said your mother's a bleeping donkey bleeper, and I'd throw it too. I mean,
right.
I don't know. Maybe he crossed a line that you can't cross. I don't know. But just in terms of where he was, I see Bill do that all the time.
Has Bill ever been called for that?
I'm not sure he has. And I'd like to think you'd call it less in the postseason than you would in the regular season.
Oh, yeah. And
like, if a guy does it in September,
like,
I'm throwing
it.
I'm setting a tone or whatever. But if a guy does it, I don't want to change a playoff game because, you know, he swore at me. Oh, he made me feel bad.
I'm just wondering if he ever had a personal foul called on him.
I don't know.
I don't recall it ever happening.
Only in the preseason.
Only in the preseason?
I remember one against Philadelphia in the preseason.
Okay.
This guy remembers everything.
That's good. You got a good memory, Paul.
I'm sorry. I watched the team that I
covered. We talked about that in the preseason.
Yeah, so do I. That's the sad part.
No, he got one this year against Philadelphia.
It was this year and I don't remember it?
Yeah. It was like a challenge that he wanted, a play that he wanted challenged. He didn't want, I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
Something like that.
But he wasn't even on the field, I don't think, that time that far, was he?
Oh, yeah. He was out screaming at a guy.
Because I've seen him on the numbers, like on the 30. Literally the number 3-0, he's been out there.
Yeah. Let's continue with more of the bad. And I was going to say this earlier. I was going to say this earlier, and that is, okay, I think we now have to come to grips with the fact that if the Patriots are to continue on in the playoffs and continue winning games, they are going to do it with Tom Brady getting the crap kicked out of him and him overcoming that by himself. I just don't know that we can have any faith in this offensive line, because even when they had their guys out there early, Brady was pressured all night long.
Yeah, but even what you're missing is, I think you're falling back into the trap of you not having a lot of respect for the Ravens.
That's
a really good defensive front.
That's the front that I did respect.
But you're not playing the Ravens next week. I don't think the Broncos or the Colts are anywhere near as good up front.
Well, the Colts don't even.
Well, I don't think Von Miller and DeMarco Ware and Terrence Knighton are as good as that.
DeMarcus?
What did I call him?
DeMarco. It's fine.
Mario.
Move on.
Leave him alone.
They used to be in Dallas, both, kind of.
Yeah.
That's a good defensive front. Now, the one I'm watching a little bit right now, which is making Cam Newton poop himself at times, they could do that to you again, and you may be saying the same thing. Brady's going to get batted around. But
you don't think Denver could do it to him?
I don't. They may make a couple plays.
I'm sorry. I'm with Paul.
Yeah,
I think Denver could do it to him.
I don't
him.
Think they're do. As deep and as consistent
they're not
as
group. They're definitely not as deep. They're definitely not as deep. The Ravens have four, and it's just Ware and Miller. But I do think they have the combination of the bulk in the middle that likes to push the pocket too. But we'll see if it's Denver. We'll see if it's Indy.
That's the way we'll have to watch for the rest of the weekend and see how that plays out for the Patriots. Joining us now on the line, we good to go? No, not yet. Okay, not yet. We're not going to go
1 minute
the lines yet. 1 minute
now
away?
Go.
Now we're good. Now we're good. Let's go. There we go, Kev. Let's go inside the Patriots locker room after this playoff win tonight for the Patriots. At the very end, a big play made by Daron Harmon. And Daron Harmon joins us now on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Daron, congratulations on the win and moving on in the playoffs. Tell us how it went on that big play, the pick at the end.
Well, it was just me reading the quarterback. Me knowing that Torrey Smith is a big shot guy, just trying to lean over a little bit, trying to give a little help to the corner, and he threw it up. We talked about him having faith in his receivers and just throwing it up, having faith that they'll come down, either knock it down or at least catch the ball. So we wanted to go up. I wanted to make a play. Logue did a great job of just boxing Torrey Smith out for me, came down with the ball, and there it goes.
Daron, I know this is your first chance at this little playoff rivalry you two teams have developed here with Baltimore. But what was it like just being out there in the game? It was like one of those heavyweight fights. There were knockdowns almost in every round. They went up 14-0. You get back in it. Then they go up 28-14. You get back in it. What was the emotion and the roller coaster like for the team?
It was amazing. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. I mean, just to be able to say you're a part of something like that, being down 14 twice, and then you got your defensive leaders like Vince and Dan coming up to you saying, don't worry about it, next play. We got a lot of time left. We're still going to win this game. I mean, it was just amazing just to be a part of that.
Would you say that was the biggest interception you've ever had at any level of football?
no question. I mean, just making a play, an interception in a game like this where your season's on the line, 2 minutes, under 2 minute drill. I mean, that's what you dream of.
Okay, so what's going glad. Through your mind? I'm sorry, Daron. What's going through your mind when the ball's coming? You see it. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
You come over. You said you read the quarterback.
Don't drop it. Don't drop it. Don't drop it.
Don't panic.
How did you not poop your pants when the ball's coming down?
It was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of, let's go get this ball. Hey, let's make sure you don't drop it.
And I wanted to also ask you about the last play, the Hail Mary play, which is probably not a very comfortable feeling for any defensive back. You don't want to be sort of immortalized. There's a lot of chaos out there. There's a lot
Gronk's
of bodies.
Out there.
Gronk is out there spiking the ball around. What's it like out there on those kind of chaotic plays?
All you can think of is just please, you're not letting these guys catch the ball. That's all that's going through your mind. So you're just trying to find ways to box people out. You're just seeing where the ball is. So it's a very – it was a long 4 or 5 seconds, I'll tell you that.
Is it hard to bat down passes with your fingers crossed? Because it sounds like you had your fingers crossed.
just a little bit.
In all seriousness, you guys had to deal with a little adversity. Obviously, Brandon Browner left the game, wasn't able to return, and that kind of obviously changes what you guys do because he's a key part of the defense. How did that play out in the second half with the reps and you guys kind of showing resiliency, next man up?
I think it played out well, man. Like you said, the mentality here is next man up. Logan Ryan came in and did a great job, and that's what he's done before. Stepped in for injured players, come in, do his job, and we win, and that's what happened today.
Well, now it's the AFC Championship game, which happens a week from tomorrow, 6:40 kickoff next Sunday, and you don't know who you're playing yet. Mm-hmm. So you have at least a day here to sit back and enjoy, right?
Correct, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to enjoy this one until we know exactly who we're playing, and then it's time to go to work.
Now, I know you won't say it, but I know you'd rather play the Colts, right?
Man, I bet with these guys, these group of guys in this locker room, it doesn't matter who we play.
I know. I'm just playing.
You guys can't control that. No, it's out of your control.
Real quick before we let you go, how many times have you been burnt in practice by the double pass Edelman to Amendola?
You know what's crazy? It happened to me in camp.
I think I saw it.
Yeah, I think I remembered. I was setting you up there.
Exactly when he did it, I looked at Devin. I said, "Devin, that's the exact play that happened to me in camp." He was like, "Well, it worked on you, and it worked on him too."
Yeah, much better to have it happen to you in training camp than on, you know, a game field in the playoffs with the game on the line.
That is true.
All right, thanks, Jerron.
Enjoy it.
All right, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
All right, thanks for the time. Jerron Harmon joining us here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. That's funny. So you actually remember that from camp?
I do. I didn't necessarily remember that it was Jerron, but yeah. I do remember that they ran that play in camp.
It's one of those plays we didn't see.
You know, we can't report on those. There's a trick play.
Despite the 13,000 people lining the field that saw it and can, like, tell all their friends.
Hey, don't tell anybody about that.
Don't tell anybody. Men in black. Boom! You didn't see that.
It's like when he tells them about tackling.
But it's so funny because that is one of the things, and I think fans – have been Richard Sherman interception for the Seahawks. I think fans have.
Thanks, Paul.
Some fans have been clamoring. I didn't just yell, ooh! Oh, then you would have said thanks, though. I didn't just. You know, I think fans have been clamoring for that, some of which probably have seen.
Where's the beef?
Edelman throw the ball in camp. You know, because that's a common, like, ask PFW. You know, how come we. You know, has Edelman ever thrown the ball?
It's hard. Like, you try to dance around it a little bit.
You don't want to say, you know, they've been setting that up for 2 years, and they're just waiting for the right situation. I know post-game Bill at his press conference mentioned apparently it's the exact same play they ran. Was it Troy Brown to David Patton, or was it Patton to Brown? I don't know if I forget.
Patton to Brown.
Yeah, because that was the game he threw.
He ran one and caught one.
Right. But so that's, you know, potentially.
And that's the last wide receiver to throw a touchdown pass.
14 years in the making. That play. So
yeah, that was a
sorry if you don't want us to spill the beans and get bitched out by Belichick. He's been waiting more than a decade to use that again.
All right. Well, we've got the bad.
I got one more bad that we didn't really
talk
about.
Sure, go ahead. I feel like we kind of got lost with the bad because
we were in the middle. And Jerron,
you know, it's okay if we gloss over bad. They did just advance to the AFC title
game. Yeah, I know.
I get that, but run defense. Yeah. It was pretty bad today.
Yeah. Oh, it was putrid.
And the misdirection really gave the defense fits.
Well, those early boots, they were falling
smokes.
For left and right.
So it's one of those
and Chandler
things.
Jones.
And they never fixed it, Paul.
What the hell was
they
Chandler Jones doing?
It.
He kept diving inside the tackle.
You predicted that.
Going with the C-gap, and there was, like, no outside force, no outside. It was almost like he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I did not care for some of that early.
That was a problem.
That's a concern, by the way, going to next week if Denver is the team, because the newfound Denver running game.
Why I bring it up is if Denver wants to come in here and try to, you know, continue their ground and pound approach, and certainly Manning, you know, is capable of doing those kinds of throws that Flacco did today. That could be problematic.
The injured in this game, a big one in my opinion, is Stork. Left the game, not return, and it looked like
a
leg injury that could be serious.
And it happened on a knee that already had a brace, I believe, which concerns me a little bit. He has been a solid force in the middle of that line. And you remember, all week, all I heard from everybody.
And that was a play where Brady was pissed off after the play. What happened in the scrum after that
people,
play?
I didn't see it, but people were claiming Suggs either kicked and or kneed Brady.
Okay.
And that set him off.
Okay,
that is totally via secondhand Twitter reports.
Because seeing it live and in person, I said, what the hell just happened
yeah.
there?
Yeah, but you never know what's going to set Brady off, and that's not necessarily a shot if he wants to take it that way. He's a very emotional, competitive guy. For example, I thought he got driven into the ground on a play where it looked like he might have hurt his left elbow, and I thought that was a surefire 15-yard penalty he didn't get that I would have been bitching about, and he didn't seem to react to that one at all. I don't know if it was because he was banged up or whatever, but then some of these other ones, he reacts like, you know, he's totally pissed off. But that didn't look overly good for Stork. And the Browner one I found interesting. They said it was a knee, but it was. I was watching him on the play before he left. They called a timeout. He left. He was on Revis' side of the field. Revis was like, no, go to the other side, yelling at him. Then McCourty was yelling at him. Then somebody else was yelling at him. And he finally got to the far side, and Belichick called timeout, and they got him off. Yeah. I almost wondered if he was, like, confused
concussed.
Or whatever. But apparently it's a leg injury. Either way, it's not
good.
They
announced a knee injury, but, yeah. it's not a good situation because he didn't return, and I don't want any part of Logan Ryan. I thought, like I said, that last play.
Joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Logan.
Yeah, I think we're out of the drop zone.
Permission reading on Twitter, freely? Browner said after the game he's fine. He'll be back next week. He stayed out of the game for precautionary reasons. That's according to him after the game.
Here's
I don't
where
know.
Paul goes.
I don't know how
it.
Honest that would
well,
be, but
I, see,
that's
I think
what
he
he's
might
saying.
Play next week, but he's not fine. You don't stay out of games. You don't stay out of games for precautionary reasons when the game's on the line in the
season's
playoffs.
On the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And just to get back to
and
the
Logan
offensive
Ryan
line, real
got,
quick.
Logan Ryan's trouble. If
I know.
He has to cover.
I mean, his jersey, the back of it says bullseye
I mean,
when he goes on.
Torrey Smith ran right by him.
Well, unlike most people, I think Torrey Smith's a pretty good receiver.
Who are you looking at?
You
idiot.
That's another one of those guys that you underestimate.
You totally underestimated their talent, and I think you need to just say, I'm sorry.
I did.
Much
I
like I need
that.
To say I'm sorry
did
for
it.
Saying the game was over after the first series
I was wrong.
When the Patriots down 7-0 were getting a bitch slapped around up front.
Listen, as long as we're all coming clean, I thought the Patriots defense would not be allowing 31 points.
Yeah, he had a ton of faith in the Patriots defense.
I thought we were past this.
Now, is there a chance... This was the time where the offense, Brady plays a great game, they win the high-scoring game, and now the defense owes them one, and the defense will come back around the other time so they can win that game. And, you know, the offense only scored 17, but
that's
we won 17-13.
That's how I would look at it, is you dodged a bullet, because I'm not expecting the defense to consistently give up 30-plus points like that. So I would look at it as, you won when the defense brought the C game.
We owe you one, boys. We're back. Yeah. We'll see you. We'll get you on the next one.
You know what? We always say you can't score 30 every playoff game. Well, you can't hold them to 17 every playoff game. You need the balance. And
they get
the balance
paid too,
today.
Paul.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe Flacco, I was just looking at it because I was intrigued by that streak. You kind of joked, Paul. He's in a lot of streaks and charts and numbers.
He's the one who doesn't belong in a lot of postseason lists.
And he had a 92, I think, passer rating. So he did not extend his
the last interception
rating.
Knocked him below
right.
100.
Otherwise, he would have had his sixth straight playoff game with 100 passes.
Owen Daniels also contributed to him being below 100 because he should have had five
would
touchdowns.
Would you get off Owen Daniels?
There we go
Christ
again.
Sakes.
Hey, 11,
there we go
11
again
targets,
enough.
Four catches.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Brady, yet again, can't get over 100 passer rating.
We're going to take a timeout.
99.3.
We're going to take a timeout here on the program.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I'm drunk. Apparently.
I have CTE.
That's a good one.
Played a lot of football in my life.
Yeah.
You don't know I don't.
I know. I can't prove that you don't.
I'll leave my brain for science later.
We'll take a quick break, and we're going to come back. And this is what I want to do. You want to have some fun?
I would love to have some fun, because why wouldn't you have fun? It's Saturday night. They advance.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to read emails that came in during the course of the game. People having meltdowns in the middle of this game.
That's good.
That sent us emails just losing their minds. We're going to read some of those emails, maybe some of those tweets as well when we come back. And, of course, we're going to get to your calls. The way for you to get in touch with us is 855-PATS-500, the local number 508-298-0398, or, of course, 855-PATS-500. You can email us as well at webradio@patriots.com. It's the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One here on patriots.com. Bertrand, Perillo, Hart, more on the way next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England.
The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Trips to the right from the Patriot 36. A shotgun snap to Flacco. Drops back against a four-man rush. Throws down the left side. Torrey Smith got behind the defense. The ball's intercepted by Daron Harmon. Harmon makes the pick. Coming over. Helping his former Rutgers teammate Logan Ryan. And he has just clinched a trip to the AFC Championship.
We're coming back next week, and that's all I know. I don't need sleep. Don't need sleep. Losers need sleep. When you win, you don't go to bed. And when you go to the well once too often, eventually it comes back to bite you. You can only throw up so many chucking ducks a game, and you can take your 28 for 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor with you. We're going to the AFC Championship game, brother.
So fired up.
Unicorns, show ponies.
I have no comment. Last time I commented, he wouldn't speak to me and wanted to fight me.
Not quite unicorns and show ponies, but very amped up, very excited. Losers need sleep, winners do not. Something I learned. Something I learned there.
I guess the Ravens are tired.
They're going to need a nap.
And you can take your 28 for 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor with you.
Wait,
is that one play? Yeah.
Play that part of it. Play that one more time, Kevin.
304 scores.
For 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor.
That's what he meant.
304 scores. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want a quarterback that does that. I'll tell you, if they proved one thing today, they proved that Joe Flacco was not really a good quarterback. I buy that.
And you know, it's not the same Ravens team, Paul. They don't have Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
Losers need sleep.
Except I watched early in the game, Ryan Wendell went to block C.J. Mosley. Perfect. Like, he pulled around, went to hit him, and C.J. Mosley just did technique. Boom. Hit him in the chest, disengaged, made the tackle. Like, you're an actual guard because... It's supposed to be harder than that.
He was impressive.
Yes.
Today. I thought C.J. Mosley was impressive.
I'd agree. He's a good
First
player.
Time
good
I
player.
Got a chance to see him play really a full game.
And he's a little bit of...
You know, really intently watching the game.
Physical. He's got a little Dante Hightower,
got
that sort of physical
But you know
athlete,
what he is? He's a faster. He's
physical.
A faster version of Hightower.
Right.
He's athletic.
You know?
But he's not a soft speed player.
No.
You know what I mean? He's a big... He might kind of play a ball. You know? And by the way, we didn't get to...
What?
You know, Hooman, Juicejix... Whatever his name is.
I mean, Juszczyk.
Juszczyk.
No, Juszczyk.
Juszczyk, the box score. He was involved in that game today. I like that.
I thought Zoe missed a layup there.
Juszczyk, 4 catches, 29 yards.
How about that?
Zoe missed a layup without, he didn't wish the Ravens, he didn't say enjoy the Pro Bowl. He didn't give him one of those. Like
he probably forgot. He was too busy singing.
I mean, I know you still got to win the AFC Championship game to be dropping and enjoy the Pro Bowl.
So if you lose the AFC title game, do you not sleep until next year? Like, because losers don't sleep. That's a long bleeping time.
No, he said losers, only losers sleep. Winners don't sleep.
Oh, so you get to go to sleep. That's how it is.
Yeah.
But what if you win the Super Bowl? Do you not sleep forever?
No, man, you're just buzzing. No sleep.
Coors Light.
Something like that.
I got to give it to him. I don't always like his shtick. It was a good bleeping football game, and to have emotion after that, and he fancies himself, an extension of the organization, so I have no problem with the emotion. That was a hell of a football game.
That was an awesome end. You know, it wasn't like...
You know what? I think it actually needed, I know Patriots fans won't hear this, for the awesome end, it kind of needed the Hail Mary, because the last interception was kind of like...
Well, but I think...
He threw it up, he caught it.
But even the last interception, unlike... 2 years ago where Lee Evans just drops a ball in the end zone and you survive and then a guy misses a chip shot field goal, this is you made a play on the last play again to
to stop
they
didn't give it away.
Yeah.
But it's not like he made this miraculous cuts across in front of a receiver for a pick. Great interview though.
Yeah, here's Sam writing in at 5:07 PM.
You're being mean.
What a joke. This is all on BB. Lack of playmakers is all his fault. The Patriots.
After the member in the pregame, I was like, they got playmakers now. No problem with playmakers.
The Patriots play with no emotion. He treats every game like business as usual. It hurts their fire in the postseason.
Now, just for timely purposes, yes, this is definitely before they brought out formations that only had four offensive linemen, before they had a double pass.
6:14
PM. He treats all the games the same.
6:14 PM from Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Watching the last 30 seconds of the second quarter, Brady bleeps up again.
Brady was not sharp early.
Sam checked back in at 6:17 with WTF. Why is Roger Goodell wearing a Ravens cap?
That was not a Ravens cap.
Not a Ravens cap.
What was it?
It was purple and black from what I could see.
No, it wasn't. It was like a shade of blue, and it had a B on it.
It was blue.
Purple.
Does anybody know what it is?
It was blue. I don't know what it was, but it was blue.
I was wondering if it was like
something. I didn't even see it. I heard it on Twitter.
Bowden or Bentley or something like
that. Sam writes in again at 6:59 p.m. Andy, how about your 40-20 prediction? Can't believe you guys discounted how the Ravens own the Pats. New England doesn't have players or playmakers to match up with Baltimore.
I think you're being mean right
I
now.
I do.
All right, I won't continue.
You are being mean.
I didn't say you didn't have to continue.
No, that's I won't continue. I'm being mean. Here's a good one at 7:06.
Just so you know, Fred Kirsch was doing the same thing. He just wasn't verbalizing it. It was more...
Oh, Fred had a lot of heavy sighs.
All these different noises and sighs and snorts and...
7:06, Tony wrote in, all caps, I have never seen that play before in my life, and I'm guessing... That was the pass from Amendola. Excuse me, to Edelman from.
That's right. When I tweeted out, Edelman I have it was in camp.
But I couldn't tell you.
So there you go. Rocco writes in from Ireland.
Hey, Rocco!
Hello, folks. What a ride that game was. Awful start, but we pulled it back. My main worry is the running game and the amount of licks Brady took off of that.
Yeah, I don't care about the running game. The amount of licks Brady took is a concern.
Should we be worried about that going into the coming weeks? And I say yes.
Yep.
Because I think if you play the Colts, you'll run the ball. You'll have a much different game plan and everything. But I think Brady's going to really be sore.
Yeah.
Now, I know we joked about it, you know, Alex Guerrero, the TB12, and, you know, fixing him. He's a 37-year-old man. I know he believes that.
Ice him down, Giselle. Ice him down.
Rub him down. But.
See, now here's what you're okay.
Get a little Bengay in there, you know?
Yeah, still doing okay. And then sooner or later, Andy will take it to a place.
Oh, we're going to cross the line. I mean, we're going to cross the line. It's what we do.
Gee.
Okay.
Give me some of that love.
The producer crossed
finish
the line.
Finish out with that special sauce.
There we go. And there it is.
There you go.
Are you at all concerned that he, you know, we always say, hey, you know, they played the Steelers last week. Yo, let's see what they got. Well, he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he did.
And the offensive line, by the way, got their ass kicked. They're going to be sore, too, and they're going to have to protect him again, and he's not going to want to get hit again.
VIP Strippers writes in, ha, I told you, Andy, the game's 60 minutes long. Steve in Westford wants to know if we can get Fred on the show.
Only if he calls in, if he's listening. I'm Fred
sure.
Kirsch.
I'm not sure Fred is physically capable of that. I believe that he needs also to be revived a couple of times.
He also needs a little bit of that.
Between the groans, the inactivity of Jonas Gray, and the hard-fought nature of this game down to the wire, his ticker, you know, is not what it once was.
Jason from Indiana writes, note to self, buy a defibrillator. Holy crap, I think my heart stopped a few times. Unbelievable fight that we showed tonight to face all that adversity and the Ravens presented us. Holy crap. I feel like we constantly had to fight the officiating tonight. Terrible calls made on pass interference on Revis and the overturned Amendola catch. I'm not with you guys on the Amendola catch. Not on that.
What
one.
Is the
Andy
question?
Thought it was incomplete. He, Andy's
yeah.
with
oh,
you.
Oh, I thought you were. Yeah,
no, Andy's with you.
He
on the
used
incomplete
the
catch.
Ground to catch it and maintain it.
And it's funny. I thought the pass interference, based on the way they call it, was a penalty.
Yeah, I was okay with that. I don't love the call. Not in my league. But
I agree with.
And then he writes,
and they also got away with one. What was the headhunting they got away with? Jamie Collins?
Collins
lit up the guy.
Collins destroyed
that
Michael
was a
Kemp
blow to the head and neck area.
It was with the shoulder, but above the shoulder.
Paul, this is the last line. He writes, lastly, what a great TD throw by number 11. No, Paul, not that number 11. Jules is the man.
I'll tell you.
Bring on the Colts.
Idea. It's a good thing that number 11 threw it because number 12 might have overshot it.
Ooh.
I actually just read that from an email. That wasn't my line.
Oh, snap.
That was not my
taking
line.
Shots at 12 after a great playoff performance.
And I think that was a great playoff performance. I think that it's one thing. I always say it, and it's one of those things that sounds silly, but, you know, a lot of guys that are really good can play great when they got it. You know, everything is clicking. They're in their rhythm. When you are not in your rhythm and you're getting knocked around and, you know, you're not completing 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 passes in a row, you have to work for it. That's when greatness comes out. And I think that he was really – he just stayed with it today after a really slow start. I give him a lot of credit today because that was not easy circumstances.
Michael in Denmark writes in, evening, guys, great game to get that win, getting late here, but totally worth staying up for. What was with Bill Belichick's clock management at the end of the game? Why not go for a first down and then take knees?
Yeah, Paul, you're the expert. How'd they screw that up? How did they end up having to?
I'd have to look at it a little bit more closely, but I would say that because we were coming down in the elevator. We should probably explain that. The three of us were coming down to start the show hustling. after the interception, and we were coming down to get here, and then all of a sudden it was fourth down, and Harbaugh called a timeout. He wisely waited for the last play to force them to punt. And
did they put time back on the clock? I thought I saw that.
Because I think he called timeout and they didn't give it to him.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was one of those, the TV clock, I think.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, ran. Okay.
My guess is they didn't do a good enough job of waiting the entire play clock and then, you know, having Brady, like, move back. Those are usually, you can time those out. You get 40 in between the plays and you can sort of get down to three. My guess is that they did not execute those kneel downs properly, but I'd have to see the tape.
Outcoached.
Carl is in Sweden, wants to know if the
we're big in
toll-free number is offline. It is not. It's just that our phones are jammed. People are trying to get
through. It's also
that's why you're getting a busy signal.
He can't call the toll-free number from there. But, oh, we have
one. We have one.
0-2-0-0-9-1-0-1-7-8. That's 0-2-0-0-9-1-0-1-7-8.
That's the one he's calling, but because our phone lines are full,
how is my Swedish?
You're going to get a busy signal. That's why. So it's not that the line is down. Let's get to some of those calls. Let's
why have you been making them wait if they've been decked out? It's late in Sweden.
Well, he's not on hold.
We don't have any international callers on hold?
Two of the four calls that I see at the top of my screen here are international
calls.
From where? London and Ireland.
London?
Who do you want to go to first?
It's 3 a.m.
Who do you want to go to?
Ireland. Sorry, London, you got to wait.
Adam's in Ireland. What's up, Adam?
Hey, thanks, Andy.
No problem. I stick with my Irish. Great Grammy Hart would love me.
It's okay. It's only 2 a.m. and I'm only going on to my last beer and I got to go out to the shed to get more, so it's okay to wait an hour.
Out to the shed? You keep me in the
shed?
You
are my favorite caller of all time. You have a shed where you keep your beer in Ireland. You're the there are potatoes in that shed, too.
I'm next week in a nursing home, so I've got easy access to a defibrillator because that was torture on my heart. Now I'm only 31.
But it was a great game, right? Entertainment factor high.
Yeah, it was. It was just, it was unbelievable. And you're reading out the guy's emails and stuff, and I got to tell you, like, halfway through that game, get rid of Belichick, get rid of Brady, McCourty, everyone, and then at the end of the game, you're like, geez, Rutgers guys, making plays. What the hell? Yeah. So, you know, but look, I just got a couple of quick points, and then I'll get out and listen to what you got to say. But first of all, just count me out of the Chandler Jones business. Gone, finito, not interested anymore. You know, we moved up in the draft to get him first round, and he just does not produce like a first round pick. And the real question I want to ask you guys, if this team's going to go lift Lombardi number four, what kind of importance do you put in improving the running game and getting more or even any hits on the opposing QB? So shout out to the PFW Elites, and thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya. Good luck at the shed.
Where do you keep the beer?
That's awesome. More concerned about the pass rush, and I agree with Chandler Jones, Paul, and you mocked me when I was a little bit, I don't even know how I voiced it, but he faced James Hurst, an undrafted rookie out of I don't even know where, right? Monroe ended up not playing.
Correct.
Did Chandler Jones play? All I saw him was diving inside of Hurst on run plays that
when
he was getting beat
you?
On. Remember, because you said I was kind of, because he has done this to me before. I see these games, okay, he's got fresh legs, and this guy's off
when
the
did I mock you about
during the week. Yeah, I don't know if it was pregame social, but Friday, Thursday, one of the days during the week, you mocked me. And this is what he does.
I've often said that I have yet to see Chandler Jones take over a game.
He did earlier this year.
This
I forgot what game.
I'm not saying have a play where he.
He took over. I want to say it might have been Minnesota.
I don't remember him consistently just taking over a game. Just I'm beating the guy that's blocking me every time. You know, the way the Ravens did throughout the game today. I'm going to consistently beat the guy blocking me.
Well, Paul, I mean, James Hurst gets paid too. Veteran minimum because he's an undrafted rookie, but.
You know, he'd be probably in line for some performance bonuses. You know, whatever those.
But I'm disappointed. I'm not necessarily ready to
play time incentives.
Kick him to the curb, but the lack of a pass rush. And I saw we had an interesting tweet. Somebody tweeted in the defense, the pass rush has been a little questionable of late, and Akeem Ayers' snaps have gone down. Any correlation between those two? Do we need to get Akeem Ayers back out there? Was he a key part of it? I don't know. It's hard to say that. I said to you in the middle of the game, has Akeem Ayers even played? He was a non-factor.
I don't remember seeing him on defense. I saw him on special
teams. So, yes, I think you have the right to be disappointed in Jones, disappointed in the ends, and that's a concern. If you lose and you're watching a quarterback have too much time, yes, I think that could be a concern.
Yeah, I agree. If you don't get – now, there were times today I think that Flacco had to move around, but I think that was based off of, you know, Flacco's the kind of guy when he doesn't get what he likes right away, he then moves.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think it was because, he got flushed out of the pocket and he had to move. He bought time on the occasions today where the coverage was there initially, and then sometimes he rolled out and threw it away, or sometimes he would say, I'm like, you got to just run it, or just throw it to that guy, I think it was Marlon Brown. They're not going to survive if they allow Denver to run the ball and then give Peyton that kind of time next week.
And they weren't getting any of the A-gap stuff really today. They weren't twisting. You know, they weren't able to get a lot of pressure and a lot of plays up front from, Daron Harmon said that Logan Ryan boxed out Torrey Smith. Logan Ryan was like 3 yards away.
Ran right by him.
And just a note,
that's a concern too. If Browner is telling the truth.
A note out of Seattle: You know, I know these corners sometimes keep track of each other, especially the one in Seattle. He already has an interception, and he just missed a pick that would have been a big play. Expect him to be, you know, praising himself, I'm sure.
Carolina's hanging in this game, though. I will say that.
Darius is in London. Let's go to London. Hey, Darius.
Sorry to make you wait. That was all Mark.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that I was so happy at the win that I was going to offer to buy lunch on PFW this week, but my God, I think you might have just talked yourself out of that one, Andy.
You
what
son
there?
Of a bitch. You got the pounds
wait,
for that.
You've got nobody to blame but yourself, Andy.
Why? I picked Ireland over London. I'm sorry. I did it, and I'd do it again.
I don't see the guy from
the
London.
Guy has a beer shed. Can you beat a beer shed?
I'm going back to my base.
Unfortunately not, but, you know, there's another three guys on PFW, so I'll still go for the lunch, but I might just have to get you
word them up.
Bite instead of a lunch. I don't know about that.
Oh, you sound like a pile of sticks.
Yeah, they're like your mother,
doesn't it? Whoa, whoa! She might be listening. Be nice.
I don't even know what he says half the time.
I know what he's saying. I know what he's saying.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning here, as Adam said. I don't think I'll be sleeping anytime soon. That was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life.
Well, sleeping is for losers.
Now, did you enjoy it?
Quote, Zolak.
That's an interesting kind of question. Yes, at times, but it felt like unbridled torture at times as well. I thought that there were loads of times where we were trying our best to give the game away, especially in the first half. I mean, the slow starts, they're starting to really become quite a big thing. I mean, it happened quite a bit towards the end of the regular season. It happened again tonight. Thankfully, we managed to overcome it. Sheer grit and determination, I think, more than anything else. But, I mean, I know you guys got a lot of callers on, so I won't take up too much of your time. But just where do you think is the main area we need to improve for next week? I mean, I don't think the offensive line was as bad as has been said, but I think that's mainly because of the fact that we quickened it up second half and break.
Hello?
We didn't hang up on him.
Mark.
That don't was blame me. I think his phone cut out.
Oh, damn it.
One huge thing, the red zone. Baltimore came into the game with the second-best red zone defense in football, and the Patriots were extremely effective in the red zone today. And that was huge, really. I don't have the stats in front of me. Did they go 5 for 5 in the red zone? They may have.
I'll look at that, Paul. I would also say that he's dead right that those starts.
Maybe.
You can't dig holes. You're not going to win sooner or later. You're going to lose when you dig a hole.
Patriots went 4 for 5 in the red zone. The stop was the back-to-back sacks on that drive that ended up pushing him out of field goal range altogether. But 4 for 5 in the red zone, that's huge. Baltimore is accustomed to playing defense down there, and today the Patriots wouldn't let him do it effectively.
Dwight's in Alabama. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Roll Tide.
Andy. When you say that, the state of Alabama still is in an apocalypse for what happened last week. People still walking around with their head cut off, like, how did that happen? But let's just get to this game. I have never had so many heart palpitations in my life with this daggone football game. I do not talk like that, so please don't mock the stereotypical.
You just said it! You just said daggone!
Hey. Hater.
Daggone is different than dadgum.
Same thing. Get it together. I've never had so many heart palpitations in a football game in my life.
So I'm going to ask you what I asked the last caller. Did you enjoy it?
Percentage-wise, 75%.
That's pretty good.
Because isn't that, you know, they talk about gamblers look for the juice. That little, like, you had juice in this game without gambling on it. I mean, you were juiced.
Yes, because at first I was like, okay, I understand that the Ravens are a good team. They beat us here in the past. It's going to be a good fought-out game. I wasn't expecting to be down 14 points, not once, but twice. Then be down 3 in early in the fourth quarter and then still come out and pull it 35-31. It was a good game. I actually cut the game off halfway through the third quarter because I was like, you have got to be kidding me. No. But I turned it back on.
Wait a minute, you shut the game off?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I watched Madagascar 3.
For how long?
10 minutes.
What is wrong
with
you?
It wasn't long. Because.
You needed to save your life is what it came down to.
Yes.
It was for your health.
When you're down 28-14 And you're not expecting this to happen to a team that you have been on for 15-plus years and expecting this to happen to a defense that has been better than years past, and you give up over 300-something yards by the third quarter? Come on now.
You gave up. You're a quitter.
Yes. Hey, kill yourself. I'm not a quitter.
You quit on the game.
You are an Alabama fan, though. That's the kind of comment that come from an Alabama fan.
No, he's not actually.
I know what he's an Alabama fan. That's exactly what an Alabama fan says, though, and he always says that he's not like one of those guys.
I can't believe you shut the game off.
Hey, I'm speaking the truth. Other fans are probably lying and say they didn't, but I bet you some of them did, too. I'm speaking the truth right now. Yes, I'm a Patriots fan. I love my team, but at times they kill me more than once. And sometimes I have to cut it off to clear my mind and to make sure that it's not something real. Maybe it's just a phase or an illusion. Then I come back, and most of the time everything's okay.
Okay.
Well, tonight it was okay, Dwight.
And they did something they'd never done before. Came back from more than an 11-point deficit in the postseason. Franchise record, 14-point deficit. They liked it so much they did it twice.
Yeah, I got a tweet that said, you know, the Ravens have never lost a playoff game after going up 7-0. I'm like, really? You're going to buy in on that stat? Like, that's the one you're going to buy in on?
Well, Andy was.
I did.
One score. Well, Andy's an idiot, though.
This is true.
I actually would expect the general public to have a better opinion.
Shut your pie hole. My balls.
My balls.
I might just start using that in general.
The best ones were, oh, you're an idiot. You think the Patriots had a coaching advantage in this game? Like, come on. You know, like, now we're firing the head coach.
To be honest with you, I didn't think that going into the game, and I said that many times. I got mocked for it.
What do you mean?
Harbaugh's a good coach. They didn't have the normal coaching advantage that they usually have.
Oh, I get what you're saying. No, I agree. I'm saying that, listen,
you
I get
still have an advantage.
I said all week long that I think John Harbaugh
maybe.
And
right
his
up
staff
until Bill bungled that
were the second best staff in the AFC among the teams that were in the playoffs.
Certainly Belichick has won more than Harbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me who I want as my head coach, I'm taking Bill Belichick every single time. I'm not taking John Harbaugh.
He's not really won that much more. He's won
a little bit more in percentage-wise, a little bit better.
But, I mean, he was 10-4 coming in. You give him another 14 tries, and he's going to be 20-8. Like, I mean, he's on his way.
I agree. That's my point.
That's what I did.
Generally, I say huge check mark, coach and quarterback.
See, I still give them the check mark. It's not huge.
I didn't give them the check mark in coaching. I had that as a push.
So a push? Yeah, I disagree with that.
I think that he's proven that he's going to have a game plan that's just as good as yours.
I would say I would not agree with that, but you know what? I don't think there's that much of a gap between them. Really don't.
Any criticisms of the Baltimore Ravens coaching staff game plan, game management?
I have to think about that one a little bit.
I thought they got away from the boots a little bit. I thought running the ball boot was working early.
I thought after the third quarter touchdown drive, they had two drives maybe that they didn't run the ball enough on. Because I don't think they ever really stopped the run. They had like two or three runs to start the third quarter, not consecutively. It was like one run here, then a couple of passes, then a run that they stopped four set for no gain, minus one. And then they kept running after that, and it was back to like six, eight, five. I thought they had a little stretch of the third quarter where they didn't run it enough, and I would say this is the ultimate 2020 hindsight second guess. But it's second and five from the 36. And this might be all on Flacco. You can't throw that ball unless you know the safety's not there. And there's no way he didn't know the safety was there.
Right.
So I thought there was plenty of time. Matter of fact, I'm not sure scoring a touchdown that fast was in their best interests. You know, I understand that you're going to take a touchdown however you can get it, but second and five from the 36, where's your guy, Andy? Juszczyk. Yeah, throw another little one for 7 yards in the flat to him.
I think they call those.
Move the chains.
Juszczyk downs.
You know, I think they could have continued to methodically try to move it.
Anybody need a soda?
And at the same time, take out the rest of the clock. And that might have been their better way to win. But that's an ultimate second guess. The pass got picked off. And without question, Torrey Smith ran right by Logan Ryan. So they probably got the matchup they wanted. And Harmon made a good play.
Liam's in North Carolina. Hi, Liam. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Wow. What a game. Answer the question you've been asking everybody else.
I watched every second of it. I'm a fan of football. It was a great football game. As a Pats fan, it was terrible, but it you know, just hard to watch. My heart was hurting too, but it was a great football game. Have to give a shout out. Chester says hi, and he says he's not going to be able to poop for a week after this.
We missed Chester. We had Chester on the line in pregame. I really wanted to talk to him, and then he hung up on us. Tell him I said hi.
He couldn't get on postgame, but he posted me a message on Facebook.
Excellent.
Hey, I got to give him an apology to the Patriots Nation and all the PFW elite. I lost faith at the beginning of the third quarter. I didn't stop watching the game, but I thought the game was over. I thought the game was
over. You mean you didn't opt for a Disney movie at that point?
I did not opt for a Disney movie. I had my daughter sitting on my lap, and she was watching the game. Maybe she was the good luck. I don't know, but it was hard to watch. For me to play the game was the Edelman touchdown. I think that changed the energy of the fans. I know you guys had a lot of other goods in there. To me, the kicking game was terrible. That was in the bad category. There was only one kick that should have been a touchback, and they actually ran it. All the other ones were all ran back, and I don't know. I don't know what happened with the kicking game tonight.
I wonder if that was by design. And I don't. I'm not one of these guys that does the stopwatch and the stuff. They knew that Jacoby Jones is going to bring the ball out. That's what he does.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's any chance that they were trying to kick it higher and giving up a little bit of depth, knowing he's going to bring it out either way. I wonder if there was some
sort
of...
But they really only kicked one really high.
Yeah, I know.
All the rest of them were line drives to the goal line.
And there's also something to be said. Bill tells us all the time, you know, it's easy to kick touchbacks early in the year. Wait till the ball gets hard and it gets cold. Right. And it was, whatever, low teens out there, wind chilling,
the only thing
singles.
Is the last one he drilled to the back line of the end zone, and Jones took it out. And Tucker was hitting him into the end zone all night.
He's a good kicker.
Yeah, but so was Gostowski.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's not kicking to Jones.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they wanted Jones to take him out because he definitely holds the ball loosely. And I wonder if they thought they might have been able to get a, you know, we give him four or five cracks to take one out, we're going to knock one loose.
Kind of like Amendola.
Yeah. completely underrated.
He was a big good for me. He was a beast tonight. He was tough, got a lot of tough yards, and he earned his paycheck tonight, if not for the rest of the season. I think in this one game, he was definitely one of the key parts of the game. And after seeing that game, I'm not afraid of anybody. Not Seattle, not anybody. And as long as they can play 60 minutes of football,
Can I just interrupt you for a second here?
Sure.
Because I have to side
up on the game in the third, but
thank
now he
you.
Doesn't fear
thank
anybody.
You. I have to side with you, and I'm not going to be a fraud here because I'm going to tell you right now. Truth be told, I thought they were going to lose. I hadn't given up, but I thought they were going to lose in the third quarter. I thought Baltimore had regained control of the game, and they were going to win the game. You felt the same way. Yet now, no longer worry about anything. Like,
no,
I don't understand how those two things can coexist.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now.
I think we just played the hardest game we're going to play all season. If they can do that, if they can win in a game like that.
But you guys all thought that Baltimore wasn't that good going into the game, and now you think you played the hardest. I mean, you think Baltimore's better than Seattle?
So you're basing it on the resiliency and the fight?
Exactly. They toughed it out for 60 minutes. There's a lot of games that. This season, previous seasons, especially where they just kind of—they
tell you one of those three
go
fumbles goes the Patriots
quarter,
doesn't go the Patriots' way. And, I mean, this is—they were
happy Paul. Let them have their night. Don't be such a party pooper, wet blanket.
It's a sunshine day.
Anyway, guys,
everything is awesome.
I just don't know how you could come out of that game and say, "Oh, we're all set now."
Let them be.
We'll take it.
Paul's
from
being
here.
Mean. He's trying to rain on your parade.
I'm not being mean at all.
See
ya.
Thanks.
Tell your daughter thanks for the luck.
Appreciate it. All right, Liam.
Take care.
I'll tell you this.
Shut up.
This is when I...
Shut up,
when the Patriots started their drive in the third quarter with just over 10 minutes to go in the third, at that point I said to myself...
Self?
And some random guy next to me from Baltimore. By the way, I got a story about that I'll tell right after this.
Whose seat did you steal?
Someone from Comcast New England. Who I did not think was going to be in the press box. You know Linda from Comcast?
No.
Sits at the desk right by the doors into the studio. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Why
Linda.
Is she there?
She was doing some work for Comcast Mid-Atlantic or something today. So anyway, no one cares about that.
She's allergic to dogs, right?
I don't know. Is she?
I think she's... Forget it.
Again, nobody cares. I said to the guy, next to me, I said, listen, Patriots got to score on this drive if the game's over. And sure enough, they went down and they scored. And I thought,
Now, did you have a running dialogue with this guy? Or was
all game
long.
No, all game long. We were talking the whole game. JP, forget his last name. Good Ricciardi. Good guy. And that was the drive that they went down and scored in the third quarter. And I thought they're still very much in this thing. That's what I said. I said they got to score.
I think it's by you.
They score on this
drive. 28-14 lead to 28-21 in the third quarter. You are right back in the game. I have to agree.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I have to agree. Beetle.
That's what I said. I said if they but it was a must for me. I said they got to score on this drive, or else they're out of this thing.
I think you're right.
And they did. They scored on that drive. That was a very important drive.
You've been real tough on Beetle today.
It's okay.
I just said I think you're right.
You're tough on everybody. I love you, Paul. I have a message
for
you from Twitter.
No, we're gonna get to that in a minute. I have
Mornell the VT said, "Tell Paul to let us have this one. We'll have Rook to rain on our parade next week."
Yeah, Rook is a negative bastard, huh? He's like Jones. Yeah.
I honestly,
he's like Adam Jones.
Sucky,
like Adam Jones.
Sucky.
Adam Jones is pissed tonight because like he they didn't lose, so he can't rant about Logan Mankins tomorrow.
Yeah, but I'm not raining on anyone's parade.
Ripping up his scripts.
Yeah, damn it.
I was looking at the situation of you gave up in the third quarter.
You guys made Jones.
The juxtaposition of giving up because you thought the game was lost, and then thinking that now there's nothing that can stop.
People that sit in this seat seem to have great success. That's all I know.
People that sit in these seats, not so much.
I can only hope that I have big things ahead of me, just like Adam Jones.
I wish you luck.
Here's the story, by the way. In this game, and I don't know if you guys caught this based on where you were sitting in the press box, but fans love hearing these stories. There were a bunch of Baltimore D-bags up in there screaming about lack of holding calls and, like, cheering on Baltimore touchdowns. Did you guys catch any of this? And there was a writer.
Those were the Patriots scouts that were sitting right behind you. They were looking for holding calls the whole fourth quarter.
These were Baltimore guys.
Oh, well, the Patriots scouts were behind you looking for holding calls.
I know the guy. This was further, like, Paul, as far down as you could go, up against the wall in the press box. It was, like, way, way down the end. So it was far to
our
left.
To our right, you mean?
No, way, way down to my left, like almost at the end of the box. And
I did hear clapping on a Baltimore touchdown.
Yeah, and that's where it was coming from.
No question I heard.
There was clapping and cheering on a number, and there was probably, from what I could tell, it was about three different people that were scattered. I never could, and by the time I turn around every time, I'd say, who the hell was that? And I couldn't see who it was.
Were you going to yell at him?
And at the end of the game, there was a writer who, I don't know who it was, but it was one of the local guys here, who turned around and basically, he had kind of been chirping at them all game, like, shut your mouth. Like, this is a press box, act like a professional.
I hate that.
By the end of the game, he turned around and he was just full out pissed and looked at them and he said, "This sounds like a Revs game, like the way you guys are cheering in the press box. This is embarrassing." Like,
is that what happens at Revs games?
I guess so. I mean, that's why I laughed, because I'm like, oh, do the media members cheer at Revs games? Is that what goes on there? But this guy was like, you've got to be kidding me. There are all these Baltimore guys in there.
So working press
box. Cheering for the Ravens tonight.
There's no cheering in the press box unless you're Bill Polian.
There is none of that.
Yeah, I don't like
Fred Kirsch.
I don't like cheering in the press box, but
I
also don't like the over-the-top media guys that chastise those who cheer in the press box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Like
Brian Morey.
Is it really bothering you? Like, I've never cheered in the press box. Matter of fact, it was funny. When we were walking down, there was a couple of the security guards that were outside the elevator, and he goes, now, how do you suppress your smile now, and how do you act like you're fair and impartial? And I said, I just keep my mouth shut, my head down, and I try to make sure I don't lose my job. And the guy started laughing. But it never bothers me.
A lot of swearing in the press box, now that I think about it.
There is a lot.
Everybody swears in the press box.
There's a lot of chirping.
Because I said today, I turned to the Baltimore guy with that Amendola catch, and I said, that's not a bleeping catch. And someone turned around from the row of Herald people because they thought it was a Baltimore guy. And they said, oh, it's just you, Beetle. And then they turned around.
They were probably going to yell at someone because they thought they were rooting for Baltimore.
They turned around and thought it was, like, you know, I was sitting among a lot of Baltimore people.
You didn't say bleeping, right?
Does it bother you?
But I did. I did say bleeping. I said, oh, that's not
a
You actually
word.
Used the word bleeping?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
No, not bleeping. I used.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. If you used the. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it bothering you?
I used the --. No, that's the one I used.
Star exclamation point.
No, that's the one I used.
Ampersand.
And so they were like, no, the writers turn around like ready to jump. They're like, oh, it's just you.
Was it Buck?
Don't talk to me, all right?
Nothing bothers me.
Oh, never mind. You're not rooting for Baltimore. Never
Nothing
mind.
Bothers you?
Except that one annoying guy.
Let's take a time out here
was
on
he
the
there?
Xbox
nope.
One Patriots
Matt
postgame
PC,
show. Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. When we come back, we're going to hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady after a very big win over the Ravens. Patriots moving on to the AFC Championship game next weekend.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Call the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart talking about this win for the Patriots. They advance to the AFC Championship game, and they have a game next Sunday. A 6:40 start time here in Foxborough against either the Colts or Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. And so that game is played tomorrow. We'll learn tomorrow who the Patriots' opponent will be. But in the meantime, we're talking about this game tonight and everything that happened between the Patriots and the Ravens, as are Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And let's start with the head coach, Bill Belichick. From what I hear, he was a little bit critical at times of his team in this press conference. Here's what he had to say.
That was a great football game today. First of all, thought that the Ravens played really well. It's a good football team. Coach Harbaugh does a good job, and his staff. They're tough to play against in all three phases of the game, and obviously took it right down to the final play. So, good to win. Good to be moving to the AFC Championship game. I thought our guys really hung in there. You know, down by 14 to start the game, down by 14 in the third quarter. Just battled back. They hung in there, and we made a couple, big plays. Obviously, the turnovers were big. We just got a lot of plays from a lot of different people, and played good situational football there at the end. We're able to bleed out the clock and, make the play on the Hail Mary at the end. So, my hat's off to, our team. They worked hard this week. Certainly wasn't our best game, and we're going to need to play better next week, whoever we play, but it's good to win. Really good to win.
Coach Danny Amendola, how big was his performance today? And kind of started, when you started him on special teams, gave him some more touches. Seems like his confidence is there. He's 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, he played great today. He's a guy that's been a real, real good player for us all year, really competitive. Nobody works harder in practice. He's made some huge plays for us. The touchdowns today, he made a great play there on third down to – fight for the yardage and get the first down. He's given us plays in the return game. So can't say enough about Danny. Works hard, tough. And he's had some big plays for us this year. He had some big ones today.
There were two wrinkles in the third quarter offensively. The first was, a double pass on the coming four. The formation, I wanted to ask about that, how it came to be. Had that been
the double pass? Yeah, we passed the Edelman, and Edelman passed it to Amendola. I mean, it's really the same play we ran against Indianapolis back in, 2001 with, that was Pat and Troy Brown, if I remember correctly, same kind of play. We were lucky they were in a sub-blitz, so they blitzed off the slot. That certainly helped the play out, gave us a little more time. Melvin came up, the corner came up. Rob was able to, block it and give Julian a little bit more time to throw the ball. Danny made the catch and outran the safety. So it was, well executed, and, I think we, caught the right defense.
Ryan scored. Josh Klein came in. Tom was under a lot of heat for this game. At least the line held up, and he was able to make enormous throws.
Yeah, Ryan's played a lot of center for us in the past, and he's always prepared, stepped in there, and did a great job. And Josh played against him last year when Logan went out to tackle, and Josh went in and played left guard, and in the game last year in Baltimore. So you know, we have confidence in all of our players, whoever we put in there. And obviously the Ravens have a good pass rush. You know, I thought our guys stood up to them. They got us some, but, you know, we scored 35 points. So, you know, you can't be unhappy with that. But at the same time, they're, you know, they're a tough defense, and they got a good pass rush.
That's probably one of the great playoff games that you'll ever see. You sound a little bit more disappointed. Happy with the
win. I'm not disappointed. Are you kidding me?
Happy with the win, but disappointed with the way it came out.
Oh, we got to play better. I mean, we're down by 14 points twice. I don't think that's a formula to win, you know, a lot of playoff games. Sure, there's a lot more playoff games been lost by teams down 14 points in the first middle of the first quarter or middle of the third quarter than won them. So, but again, got to give our players a lot of credit. They're resilient. They're mentally and physically tough. They hang in there. We've had other games like this. We had a game like this last year against Denver, behind at halftime or behind against Miami or, you know, whatever it is, and keep playing and keep fighting and find a way. So that's, I'm happy about that, and that's what I like about this team. They're a tough group, and they never give up no matter what the situation is. And, you know, we were able to make enough plays to win today. But we're going to have to play better next week no matter who we play. I mean, I think we just, you know, we got to do that.
Coach, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady becoming the all-time leader in touchdown passes in playoff history?
Well, he deserves it. You know, Tom's a great clutch player with tremendous poise, vision, accuracy. So, you know, he's done it with a lot of different receivers, a lot of different situations, a lot of different defenses. So, I think that speaks to his, you know, his greatness and his ability to perform consistently under pressure. No quarterback I'd rather have than Tom Brady.
Coach, can you talk about that stability? As the ninth AFC Championship, you and your quarterback are going into. Ultimately, you want to hoist the trophy, but I think that leads, you know, the NFL right now. That'll be his ninth.
Well, again, that's what you play for. You know, you play to win your division, you play to be in the postseason, and then you play to be in the AFC Championship game, and, you know, see what happens after that. But, you know, that's what it's all about. That's who you work all year for, is to get to this point. And, thankfully, we'll be playing next week. So, and you know, we've had Tom through all those that I've been here. So, you know, it's great to have him and his ability and his poise and presence, you know, as our quarterback. And obviously, he's done a tremendous job today and through all those years. Good. Thank you.
All right, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after the game. We'll get to Tom Brady coming up in just a couple minutes, but before we do that, let's go back to the phones, get some thoughts from people who've been waiting.
Can find out what other movies some fans watched in the third quarter when they had given up on the game.
If it wasn't Madagascar, what was it?
Taken 2.
I watched Aladdin. It's a good movie, Aladdin, but not...
The Madagascars aren't bad movies.
I've never seen the Madagascars. Are they good?
Yeah, they're not
bad. I'm sure
yeah.
I'll see them in the
they're
coming
good.
Years.
Yeah, they're good.
And you have three kids now.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing to contend with is all the kid movies.
And they're all, I mean, they're funny. They have adult humor in them. They try
no,
to entertain
like
you.
That.
Yeah.
They sneak that in.
Well, they're smart.
You.
They need to entertain both.
Let's go to Carl, who emailed us from Sweden, and now he's calling us from Sweden. Hi, Carl.
Hey.
Hello, Carl.
How you all doing?
How are you doing? Did you enjoy the game, or did you have to turn it off at some point?
I never turned it off.
Good.
I'm proud to say.
Good.
Yeah. No, it's a regular Patriots game, I'd say, actually.
Well, we've been through a lot of these over the years in the playoffs. They put together some damn good, entertaining, competitive, hold your heart kind of football games at times.
Pretty much, yeah. And especially, well, I gotta say, I mean, I've been a Patriots fan since I think 2002 or something. But I mean, at the same time, I live in Sweden. I'm kind of shut off from whatever happens over there,
right?
You know, in between the games, I don't see a lot of that in the media. But what I've seen of Brady is he always comes through in the last minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right. He's pretty clutch. He has created a pretty good career for himself doing that. You know, obviously he had the records today. What is it, 46 touchdowns to break Montana's
correct.
Record?
Correct.
For postseason touchdowns. So he's been there before, but you know what? He's had some criticism of late, too, of people, you know, a couple Super Bowls where he couldn't get it done. And, you know, there were some who have questioned his playoff mojo and ability to win.
What are you saying, Andy?
Paul.
Well, it's easy to question one person, you know, from a whole team of like 60 people.
Right. It's also easy to question the one person with the ball who's getting hit by all these dudes from the other team all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the defense this game was just pathetic the first half.
Yeah, Carl, you got to think.
Wasn't any better in the second half.
You got to think. It was bad all game long. You've got to think that no matter who the opponent is next week, we can't see a performance defensively from this team like that back-to-back weeks, right? Like, there's just no way they can play this.
Well, that is what concerns me a little bit.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, you're going to face a couple decent quarterbacks and offenses and teams. And
okay, but opponent aside, that's why I said no matter who you play, there were things the Patriots could have done a lot better in this game.
But the thing for me is, like, it's sort of like in the middle of the year when I deemed the offense capable of scoring 30 every week, and then they stopped scoring 30 in, like, the beginning of December and stuff.
Yeah.
The defense had gone, what was it, 7 straight games, Paul, without allowing a touchdown in the second half. The defense had become the aspect that Paul was arguing, they're rolling.
I agree.
Well, now they're a question. You know, you've beaten the Colts. You've beaten the Broncos. You've beaten either team you're going to face. And yet, do I feel as good about it now as I did before this game happened? No, because the defense didn't play a great game tonight.
See, I would feel fine if it were Indy, only because I don't think Indy can run the ball like that. Denver, I fear, might be able to run the ball similar to the way Baltimore did today and throw it.
Richardson was good at Alabama.
Yeah, well, it ain't Alabama. Roll damn Tide!
And he don't play anymore.
And he's sick.
They've added... You know, the offensive line was the question mark over the last month, right? Everybody said that's the reason why the offense had struggled. And that's still a question mark, don't get me wrong. But now you've added the defense a little bit I don't feel quite as good about that defense as I did for a month.
And at the same time, I think the Ravens are better than, to get back to the point that we talked about right off the top. Andy, you made the point that you thought that the Ravens are much deeper and more talented up front. I agree they're much deeper and probably more talented. But compare the secondaries if it's Denver. I mean, that's night and day between what you saw today. You saw guys playing cornerback today that aren't NFL players.
Right.
Rashad Melvin was on a practice squad, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Baltimore had to just pick him up and plug him in. Antoine Kaysen is playing. He got released.
Who doesn't? So did LeGarrette Blount.
The things I say.
I don't even know if you believe him.
I don't always.
Let's go to Kay in California. Hi, Kay. Kay.
Okay.
Kay.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Andy, Mark, and Paul.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Okay. How you doing?
You sound energetic. Hi. I like it.
You just perked up the post-game show. Good job.
Perky.
You gave us a lift.
Hi. I almost had a heart attack on that game.
Yeah, a lot of people did. But tell me you watched the whole game.
Yes, I did. I did. We were at the spa place, and we stayed there for 4 hours, and I kept on ordering egg rolls and boba tea, so we could just stay there for a long time, and we were just, holding the table and everything, and all the people there were just like, nah, it's okay, the Ravens are going to win anyway, and I was, furious already and stuff like that.
But at least you didn't give up like some people did, even though you couldn't give up because enjoying the food.
I never give up on a Patriot game.
Now, are you confident heading into next week would be the next question in that area?
Oh, yes, of course. Whoever that is, if it's the Colts or the Broncos, we're going to win. I know we can.
Can, yes.
Certainly.
Will?
Certainly can. I don't know if they will. I want to see what happens tomorrow.
who are you paying to win for tomorrow?
Oh, I'm hoping Indianapolis wins, but I think Denver will win.
Yeah, I think it.
That would be an interesting game if it will be the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos is the more interesting game because it's Manning Brady 18, Paul?
Yeah, something like that.
But, yeah, if you want to just flat out go to the Super Bowl, I'd be rooting for the Colts tomorrow because I think you should beat the Colts.
If you want the path of least resistance, that's what you want. You want the Colts.
Yes, the path of least resistance. Well put. That's Andrew Luck, T.Y. Dropsy Hilton, and the Colts.
Let's go to John in Texas. Hi, John.
Hello?
John, go ahead.
John, you're on.
Oh, thank God.
Johnny.
Man, was that an emotional roller coaster or what?
Yep.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
Man, down 14-0 the first time, I believe that we could get back into it. But when we were down 14-0 the second time, I'll be honest, even after we scored the first touchdown, I did not think that we were coming back. And I'm so excited that we did.
You know what's
One more week.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I there were the stats on this team. They had never come back from, you know, more than an 11-point deficit in the postseason. They were down 14 twice. And then, you know, I tweeted out, well, you know, the Patriots haven't given up a touchdown in the second half in seven games. And they didn't, right? I mean, they did.
Oh,
but
yeah. Immediately.
But so, like, it's not even like it worked out perfectly. You know what I mean? It's not like it was the night and day. Well, we got everything fixed at halftime.
Oh, God, no.
So it's just a resilient win, you know, and I,
yeah.
Bill, I liked how Bill said that. They don't give up, you know, and I think they're talented. And when you're talented and you don't give up, you got a chance. When you're Matt.
Danny Amendola all year has been getting flack, and to come up like he did in this game, he's worth every penny.
I'm not sure I agree with that, but he came up huge.
He played a good game today.
I mean, if they go to the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, then Danny Amendola was worth every dime.
I can't necessarily argue that.
Unless he does that in the two games that follow, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that, but you'll take whatever you get out of him. You can build a legend. You can say, you know, you were a bum for a year and a year and a half, and now you're a star or whatever. But if he keeps playing like that, that certainly gives this team a boost.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. Thanks, guys. It was you guys are awesome. I listen to you guys all the time.
Awesome.
Me and my friend listen to you guys and talk about you guys daily. So just keep repping the Pats like you do, and we'll talk to you next week after the AFC Championship.
You're damn all Skippy.
Right. Thanks.
We'll be
here.
We'll be getting ready for Katy Perry, Lenny Kravitz, and the Super Bowl halftime show.
Before we get to Tom Brady, let's talk.
I'm kind of disappointed that Lenny Kravitz is joining it.
McCabe, what do you got?
Oh, hey, guys.
What's up?
That was just an emotional roller coaster. That whole game, especially getting down 14-0 with like 6 minutes it was in the first.
Yeah, that's pretty much when I thought the game was over.
Yeah, totally.
I thought in the third quarter when they came out and got the stop and then they scored, I was like, ooh, so much for those adjustments.
Right.
Now it's going to take them the whole half again. And
but they didn't give up.
That's what I thought.
We gave up. The guy turned over and watched that Madagascar movie, but the team never gave up.
No. it scared me a little bit, though, is our run defense. Because if we end up having to play Denver in our conference championship with that, our defense performance that way, it's going to be a long game.
Yeah, that is the new-look Broncos with C.J. Anderson and that running ability, and the new-look, as of today, porous Patriots run defense. Not necessarily a great combination if you're a Patriots fan, but we still have a full day before we have to start worrying about which one of those teams these Patriots have to beat.
Yeah.
All right, man, have a good night.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
Hey, I got a
suddenly Fred Kirsch is hosting the freaking
I got a tweet out of the locker room, and this is and I read this one because it's very very unlike Darrell Revis. Did you see this quote on Steve Smith?
No, is it good?
Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Revis
on Steve Smith. He caught a touchdown earlier in the game, and then he got erased. That's very unlike Darrell Revis as a Patriot. The Patriot Darrell Revis does not say things like that.
You know what that tells
He's right. Him? He's absolutely right.
Steve
three catches.
Smith. He was.
Three
He's
catches
pissed.
For 44 yards, and I believe that was the last of the three.
Right, but Steve Smith clearly kept pushing him, saying something. Clearly Steve Smith is a DB, even though he's a
WR. We all know that.
And getting into fights on and off the field with
people. Yeah, after the game, here's a little inside story for you.
Oh, no, you're going to ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son, ice up.
He spotted Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriot, who was at the game tonight and was on the sidelines.
And former Panther, right?
Hyping up the crowd. Also former teammate of Steve Smith in Carolina with the Panthers. He was near the tunnel where the visiting players come off the field. Steve Smith started talking trash to Jermaine Wiggins. They're former teammates. They were not buddies by any means. And
teammates, not buddies. Let's make that clear.
Buddies. And this is what his issue was with Steve Smith. Wiggy said a couple of years ago, going back a couple of years, when he was asked about Steve Smith on Felger Maz with his Wiggy appearance. You know, what do you got on Steve Smith? What's the deal with Steve Smith? He said, Steve Smith's a bully. He's a good player. He's a bully in the locker room off the field. That's what he called him, a bully.
I can see that.
Steve Smith apparently heard this comment and tonight tried to address Jermaine Wiggins about that comment and was screaming in his face about Wiggy having said he was a bully, to which I just talked to Jermaine Wiggins. Wiggy said, I did call you a bully. You are a bully. You know you're a bully. And then it escalated from there. And from what I understand,
it really escalated quickly.
It was not a pretty sight because Steve Smith was looking for a physical confrontation outside of the area where the tunnel is. This all happened as the players were getting on their buses. So Wiggy was still down there with his family and his wife. And Steve Smith went over and started yapping in Wiggy's face about him calling him a bully.
Stay classy, Steve.
So that's what went on after the game.
Sticks and stones.
That's what went on with Jermaine Wiggins. That is insane. Like, that's nuts. An interview from a couple of years ago. It's not like he said something that bad about him. He said, you're a bully.
And you lump that in with Darrell Revis's tweet, uncharacteristic for his year here.
Yeah.
And my guess is he didn't care for whatever was
Paul,
going on
still
with
have
Steve
that?
Smith.
You still have that quote?
I could probably go back and find it.
Just one more time.
He also...
it's worth reading again.
He also talked about the pass interference call and not surprisingly didn't agree with it. give me a second. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Sure, no problem. You know what?
Oh, here it is. He caught a touchdown earlier in the game, and then he got erased, was according to Bob
wow.
Glauber.
From New York.
Yes.
New York Raider, yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, so Revis didn't tweet that?
No. It was
a quote from
Revis out of the locker room.
Oh, okay. I thought Revis tweeted that out.
No.
Okay.
No, but he said it.
No, I know.
It's a quote. Okay,
thing.
I just wanted
to
make sure.
I thought
sure
he
that,
tweeted
you know,
it.
So that's what's going on. Let's get to Tom Brady. What did he have to say after this one today? Here's Tom Brady after the win.
How you doing, guys? Girls?
Okay. All right, either way, it's an unbelievable game, and it really turned on a couple of the things that you guys did. The wrinkles you put in the second half with the double pass with Julian, you go through that play and the planning of it and how wide you think it was. And then the... I don't know what you call it, the eligible foolishness. It just caught them flat-footed.
Yeah, we, that double pass has been in all season, so, it was great that Josh called it at the perfect time. We actually got the perfect look, the star blitz right off of it. They bit up, obviously to try to go tackle Jules, and Danny slipped behind him, and Jules threw a dime. So, pretty sweet play. We needed it. We needed a lot of plays. We played from behind, which is not the way that we wanted to play. Playing these guys from ahead was the best way to play them. And behind twice by 14 wasn't necessarily in the plan. So it took a lot of good execution to overcome it. A lot of guys fought through, a lot of mental toughness. And I'm glad we pulled it out.
How many times did Julian told you that he can really throw?
He did. He throws it better than I did. He spun it. It was a perfect spiral right in stride. So. I got to make some rules. They can't throw better than I can. So, but he did. That's pretty sweet.
What was the move in the head on the ball? Obviously, you checked out the rule on that. What did you do, and why was he all shook up?
Not sure. I don't know why. Maybe he. Then we'll ask him.
What did you guys do? Why does that? What is Delta say you can't cover so and so? Who's eligible? Who isn't? How do you do it legally?
I don't know. I think, who knows? Maybe those guys got to study the rule book and, figure it out. And we obviously knew what we were doing, and, we made some pretty important plays. So it was a real good weapon for us. We'll have something in store next week.
The game-winning touchdown drive there with this. Start actually back forward with the touchdown pass to LaFell. Just what you saw in the throw into the tight end.
Yeah, it was good. It was man-to-man coverage, and JoJo got a great release. So, he made it easy on me, and made a great catch. So, the guy looked like he had his right arm, kind of arm barred, and he caught it with his left and was able to get his right hand on it. So, it was a great play. We needed it. It was the first time we really got ahead in the game. So it was a big play.
concerned with you in the final minutes. You've seen big games when you need to go through them. When you've got leads late, you've seen them disappear. Do you look when you're on the sidelines? Are you thinking offense? What one's coming
up? Yeah, it was that fourth down play, you know, and right around the two-minute warning that they made, which was, you know, just a great play that Daniels made. And then, you know, you lose a little momentum at that point, and then we got a great rush on Joe, and he threw it up in the end zone, and Deron made a great pick. So he's picked me in practice a bunch, Deron, so it was nice to see him pick another quarterback, especially at a big-time moment like he did. So it took a lot of plays to win, a lot of plays that you need to advance, and you never know how these games are going to go. But, you know, we fought hard. It wasn't a perfect execution game, but it was great to win.
Tom, you're down 14 points the first half, 14 points the second half. How do you remain so calm and clutch at the same time be able to bring a team back like that?
Well, you know, we got to a slow start, down 14-0, and threw the pick, and they got the touchdown before half, which is not really the way we wanted to go into halftime. And then you know, they scored again in the third quarter, and then you know, we had the good drive there to kind of bounce back. Then we got the double pass for a touchdown to even it up going into the fourth quarter. So it was a, you know, it took a lot of the team. It's a lot of energy, but, you know, that's what we're here for. We're supposed to go out there and make good plays, and thought the guys really, you know, we made them when we needed to.
They had played with a big cushion on about five consecutive plays prior to that.
Yep.
Were you looking to see if they started to play up and take advantage of something? And the other thing is what happened to you?
It was different coverage, you know, when they were playing off, and then when they got up there and pressed them, it was more man-to-man. And, you know, JoJo ran a great route, got a good release. And,
Are you waiting on that finally when they come up?
Well, I mean, if you get the opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. So there's strengths and weaknesses of every defense. If they're going to press, you got to hit some of those. And it was nice to be able to do that. So, if you know, if they're going to play off, you throw in front. If they're going to press, you try to throw it over them. You know, if they're covering the outside, you throw it inside, and it's just a chess match all game. So we hit a couple early, and then, you know, we made some plays that we needed too late. We needed those. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Hey, Tom, they showed you on the sideline after Baltimore scored a touchdown after your interception. What was going through your mind? Because on that throw over the middle, picked off.
Yeah.
Can you run us through what happened there?
Yeah, it was just a terrible play by me. And, you know, we finally tied it up 14-14. We had a chance to actually go ahead for the first time in the two-minute drive there, and I just made a terrible decision. So
when you see them score, I mean, you're taking that one pretty hard.
Absolutely. I take them all pretty hard, and especially when, you know, I give them one like that. So.
One more thing. How conscious were you of the clock? I mean, the pass rush clock, because it seemed like as the game went on, you kind of neutralized their rush with quicker throws. Was that something that you felt like you had to do a better job of as the game progressed?
Yeah, and you got to keep it moving against a great rush like that. So they do a great job of, you know, with the edge rushers, and they get a lot of good inside moves, and you got to counter with sometimes getting the ball out quick and then obviously taking some opportunities down the field when you have them. So we hit some, you know, we hit some quick ones, especially there in the second half, which we needed to. You know, the guys made a lot of great plays, so it was, you know, whatever we had to do to move the chains and score points, that's what we wanted to do.
Tom, considering the high turnover in today's NFL each year on the roster, how can a big come to realize the playoff and bring a team together, perhaps in a way that the grind of the regular season cannot?
Well, it was a great, you know, after this weekend, there'll be four teams standing, and every team starts the year with a great hope, and we were one of those teams, and we're still standing, so it feels good. We have a great opportunity ahead of us to play a championship game at home, and, you know, we're going to need our best week, obviously playing the one of the best teams in the AFC, who's earned the right to be here, and you know, we certainly earned it, and we're proud of it, but we got bigger goals ahead.
One last thing for me, Tom. At the end of the game, what happened? Three straight knees. All of a sudden, Baltimore was back on the field. How did that happen?
I don't know. Yes, Coach. Thank you. Have a good night.
Tom Brady after the win tonight.
Ask Coach? I really need to see those last three plays. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe anybody would ever say, I need to go back and watch those three kneel downs at the end of a game that the Patriots salted away the clock. But I got to figure out what happened.
We're going to have to look at this.
Ask coach.
I wonder, we can't pull it up now because...
Tom, at the end of the game, what happened? It took three straight knees. And all of a sudden, Baltimore was back on the field. How did that happen?
I don't know. Yes, coach.
That's a little bit...
curious.
A bit curious.
Like, did he want to do something different?
Did he...
Well, I mean, how do you take that, Andy?
It's interesting.
Is your mic on?
I don't think it
is. It's interesting. I don't necessarily think it was delivered with the way it comes off, in my opinion.
I would agree with
that.
I don't think he was taking a rocket shot.
Ask coach. I don't know.
I agree.
You know
I don't think he was taking a rocket shot.
I think
I didn't want it to sound that way.
Yeah, the way you take that and the way it kind of sounds is that, but I don't think it was delivered with that intention. When are we going to have time for me to rant about Harbaugh?
Right now.
Paul was reading me some
quotes
during the break, and I don't need him. I got the gist of him. He was complaining that it was a substitution issue. He doesn't believe it's ever been done before. Basically, the officials didn't know what was going on. They were not having the ability or whatever to identify who the eligible receivers and ineligible players were. Blah, 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 blah. The league will have to look at it. Does he think it's cheap? He wouldn't answer that. You're a bitch, John Harbaugh. You just lost the game, and you come off as a bitch when you say that. Sour grapes. I heard an official do something that I've never heard. He told you who not to cover. What are you looking for? There were four offensive linemen on the field and another guy who he told the stadium was ineligible. So essentially the right tackle was out wide. You work on unbalanced formations, correct, John Harbaugh? You work on these types of things. You're supposed to be a great coach. Paul Perillo tells me you're the second best coach in the AFC and all this stuff. And you got caught with your pants down, and now you're telling me, oh, they'll have to look at that, and it may or may not be cheap. You're not willing to talk about it.
I don't take
it
anywhere near as bad as you do.
I think it's a lot of sour grapes. I really, really do.
Sounds that way.
And by the way, if you're having that many problems, call a timeout and deal with it. Call a timeout and deal with it. Right? You know they're doing it, so call a timeout. And just say, listen, here's what's going on, because you're a smart coach. You're a good coach. Your record tells me that, your quick history, everybody tells me you're a good coach. And we also had reports, some tweets, that maybe he was yelling across the field at the Patriots bench, the Patriots coaching staff, McDaniels or Belichick. I don't know whether those are true or not. I certainly don't think he should be yelling at Josh McDaniels. Yell at Bill Belichick. He's the guy that got you your job. You know, he's the guy that is running the show here. If you got a problem with somebody, yell at Bill Belichick. Don't be one of these bullies like they do on conference calls where they don't ask Bill a question and then 5 minutes later they ask Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia a question and they kind of bludgeon him and ask him follow-ups and you got to answer it. Well, you had 15 minutes with the head coach. He makes all the decisions. John Harbaugh, Josh McDaniels doesn't make all the decisions here. Bill Belichick does. If you're mad at anybody, be mad at Bill Belichick. If you're mad at anybody, in my opinion, be mad at yourself. You got out-coached.
I've just pulled it up. Multiple tweets, and we have received some confirmation as well. There was a little back and forth between the sidelines between McDaniels and Harbaugh, started by Harbaugh being pissed off.
I actually came into this game. I liked John Harbaugh. I love him on the sideline. I like his demeanor. But these postgame comments and him taking it out on Josh McDaniels, if that's the case, I lost a lot of respect.
Well, it reminds me of Brendan Ian Badejo a couple of years ago. Remember when he said, you know, all that cheating stuff that the Patriots do when they go hurry up? Remember that? I mean,
that's kind of funny.
that was a Ravens player saying the Patriots cheat.
Now,
that cheap stuff.
If you want to just kick their ass and then afterwards say, I don't know, we just line up and play football. I don't know why they need to try to trick us. Apparently, they think they're not good enough. They can't just. I'm fine with that tone. But after you lose and then to say, you know, the league needs to look at this, I don't really understand what needs looking at and what he didn't understand. I don't really get it.
Yeah, Ian Badejo said 2 years ago, this time 2 years ago, on Twitter, quote, New England does some suspect stuff on offense. Can't really respect it. Comparable to a cheap shot before a fight. That's what he tweeted, talking about the hurry up. That's just the hurry up, not what they were pulling tonight. Which, you know, within the rules. Sorry, John, within the rules.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the official.
No, I'm not going to pretend I'd seen it
before. Seems like Harbaugh would disagree.
And I would have been prepared for it and all that, but.
I mean, I think Harbaugh is saying that there's something wrong with what they did. I don't know what the rule is. But
yeah, I don't know the rule either. But for him to say we couldn't figure out or whatever those words, I forgot exactly how you put it or he put it. You
substitute.
It.
They couldn't identify which receivers were eligible and they weren't allowed to identify them because they didn't have any time to do it. I don't know if he's right or wrong, to be honest with you.
I don't really understand that. I think they got caught with their pants down and he's got sour grapes. Like after the first play, if this happened on one play and they hit a bomb, an 80-yard bomb, okay, I could kind of maybe side with him a little bit, but they kept doing it. Don't you have guys in the box that say, oh, Klein ran off, right? And say they're bringing in an eligible receiver for Klein? I mean, it just feels very, 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 very sour grapes. They wear purple. Maybe it's appropriate.
Maybe.
All right, next week, it's Patriots in the AFC Championship game against either the Broncos or the Colts. Many of us would assume, if you're making a pick on that game, that it's going to be Denver.
Oh, I would, absolutely.
Yeah. But you never know.
But
that's
I'm in regular season form. I'm on my way to going 0-2 with my picks so far on Saturday.
I had
the Patriots today, and
hanging
I had Seattle.
And
Seattle is only winning by 4, so neither one of my picks so far is covering.
14-10 Seattle with 12 and a half minutes to go in the third quarter. We'll be back next week. It's going to be a 6:40 kickoff, which means a 4:15 start time. Kev, okay. 4:15.
A little extra time to eat next week. Maybe.
Next Sunday, 4:15, we'll be on the air Sunday afternoon, getting you ready. And, of course, you can hear PFW in progress this week with Andy and Paul and Fred and Eric and the whole gang. So make sure you catch them then and then catch this crew next Sunday. Until then, enjoy the rest of the football weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Patriots win, moving on to the AFC Championship game.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Brady pulls away from center. Deep drop by Tom. Pump right. Fires down the middle. Gronk has it. Touchdown, Patriots. A dagger from Brady.
Next Sunday, the Patriots will host the 2015 AFC Championship at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff is set for 6:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com at 4:15 p.m. for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, along with the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Shotgun snap to Tom. Throws down the middle for Gronk at the 5. Out of a tackle into the end zone. On his feet for the touchdown for the Patriots.
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.